Ecclesiastes chapter 2, look at verse number 14. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is and the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. I want to use that passage to preach a message this morning. The Lord laid on my heart several days ago about what matters most. Now, I'm glad we have a good group here this morning, and I'm glad we have a few maybe that are tuning in online, because I think we all need to stop and think about what matters most in our life. And if the Holy Spirit can't do the work today, I certainly can't do the work. All I am is the voice, the preacher that God's going to use to try to share His word with you. But I would encourage you, listen for that still small voice. Let's get rid of all the pride in our heart right now. Maybe during this prayer, say, God, speak to me today. We're so good at blaming others for our relationship problems. Why don't we just today, as we pray, say, God, help me to hear what I need to hear today. You may have had a knockdown drag out with your spouse on the way into church this morning, and you may be thinking, well, why don't you just right now during this prayer say, God, help me to hear what I need to hear today, and let's see what that God will do. Lord, would you bless our time together in your word this morning? I believe this is a truth needed for today, for myself, and as well as all of us in here. So help us to evaluate this area, and we'll thank you for what you'll do. Speak to hearts, please. If someone's lost without Christ, I pray that today will be the day they get saved, and we're looking forward to what you'll do. And we'll ask you to bless and thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. We've lost two giants in our church in the last 2 weeks. One thing about losses such as these, it causes us to pause and to consider what matters most. Many of us in this room work, and we work hard. But I want to remind you of the words of the Lord in Luke chapter number 12, when he said this in verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Men, listen to this, men. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. I know I'm not speaking to rich people this morning, amen. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. You say, what's fruits? Ladies, shoes? What's fruits? It's thinking you have to have a new outfit every other week to be happy. What's fruit, guys? What's fruit? Guns. I was looking in my gun case. It's in Joshua's room. I don't know why I'm doing that, but it's in Joshua's room. I noticed last night, or this morning when I went to wake him up, that one of our shotguns was kind of falling over, so I reached in there and leaned it up, and I realized, man, we have guns in there, and then we've got another rifle leaning up against the wall in there. Nothing wrong with us having a few things. What is fruits? It's all this stuff that we think we have to have. He thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. This is rhetorical. You don't have to answer it. But how many of you have a garage or a storage room just like mine right now? You can't even get into it. I'm like, man, I can't wait for a cool day so I can get in there. My tools and suitcases and my hunting bows and my camouflage and all of that stuff. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I mentioned it the other day in the service, only one life so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. I don't know if you realize this or not, but biblically, this is not just our thinking and our, oh yeah, but I mean, biblically, each one of us has an appointment with death. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We have an appointment with death. I'm for being safe. I've seen people that like to do the bungee jumping. I'm not going to do that. I know of people, Miss Audrey would like to do this, jump out of a plane one day, go skydiving. It's a perfectly good plane. Why jump out of it? I certainly wouldn't do it in 2020. My parachute wouldn't open. But why jump out of it? But people want to do that. That's fine. I mean, my idea of death-defying is getting on a scissor lift. My idea of death-defying is 20 feet in the air bow hunting because I don't have my safety harness on yet. That's my idea of death-defying is jumping off the deck of my back porch. That's about as high as I want to go. But in all seriousness, let me just say this, that so we shouldn't live life recklessly. Most of us do, but it's not that type. It's not jumping out of planes. Most of us, me included, we live life recklessly with the way we eat and our health and the way we handle ourselves. There are a few of you health nuts in here. I stress nut, but the rest of us, I always find myself saying, man, I've got to start a diet next week. And I say it while I have a plate full of pizza in my lap or on my belly. You know, that works. So I'm not saying live recklessly, but what I am saying is this, there's been such a fear in this world today of I'm going to get a virus and I'm going to die. Guess what? I'm going to die one day. And a virus does not catch God by surprise. And what I'm simply trying to say is, whether it be this year, whether it be next year, whether it be 10 years from now, God did not look up and say, I was at a funeral yesterday. My older brother had to do a funeral. He actually had an older person that got coronavirus and died. Live in fear all you want. This lady nearly died a year ago. She was up there in age and had those underlying conditions. If you have underlying conditions, which most of us have, they're just underlying and we don't know. Anything could kill you at any time. This lady actually, the coronavirus got her to that place where she went home to heaven. But what I'm saying is this, that was not, God did not say, oh, wait a minute, her appointment was 5 years from now, but they got that coronavirus. I'm saying don't live reckless, but your appointment is set. God knew Brother Snyder would be in church last Sunday working in children's church. And that night, be home with him walking on the streets of gold. We each have an appointment with death. God knows, according to the Bible, God knows exactly how long we're going to live. Both of our loved ones that have passed away. In our eyes, way too young. Way too young. And we'll never understand it. But the Bible says in Acts 17 and verse 23, says this, or verse 26 rather, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Listen. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. The bounds of their habitation. I'm 45. I'll be 46 in November. Am I going to live to be 46? That's not up to me. Dr. Atkinson, the Atkinson diet, died. I mean, God knows. Are you following me here? Don't go play in traffic. But we've got to quit living in fear of well, I want to live to be 200. You're not going to live to be 200. My grandfather's in his 90s. Thank the Lord for that. If I live that long, as long as I have his health, I'll take it. But I don't control that. There's nothing wrong with having some things in life. I have them. I have a few weapons and I have things I like to hunt with and that sort of stuff. But all of those things that we work so hard to acquire will not amount to anything on the day of our death. Read a story, in fact, just last night. I read, maybe it was this morning. I forget now, but this is a true story. In another country, wasn't here. a 20-year-old young lady and her either boyfriend or husband wanted to commit insurance fraud. They took out, at the end of 2019, they took out 5 policies, some kind of insurance, not death insurance, but some kind of insurance policies. This tells you how dumb people are. In January of 2020, when the policies had cleared and became effective, this was the insurance fraud. The young lady was going to cut her hand off with a circular saw. She did it. She did it. You go home and read about it now. She cut her hand off with a circular saw because she could get paid over $1 million. Guess what? They were on to her immediately. They ought to just change her name to Dumb as a Rock. They were on to her immediately. Now she's going to jail. A little shorthanded, but she's going to jail. All right. What I'm saying to you is... Too much, Miss Audie? Okay. You say, that's dumb. Some people, that's all they live for is material goods. Can I get some more money? You all right, Ethan? Laughing or crying there. But we've got to have more. We've got to have a nicer house, and we've got to have a nicer car, and we've got to have more clothes, and we've got to have more money, and we've got to have more toys, and we've got to have more stuff. And nothing wrong with those things in the sense of just kind of having it. It's that's your focus in life, and that's not what your focus ought to be. Now, there were certainly some wealthy Christians in the Bible. Joseph of Arimathea, the tomb that the Lord borrowed, he was a rich man. Abraham was a rich man. King David was a rich man. Even King Solomon. We don't have rich people in our church here, but those people, they had a lot of stuff. So in just in a general sense, there's nothing wrong with having stuff, having things. But I want you to look back at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 there now, because Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and one day Solomon sat down and he realized that his life was going to end and that everything that he had worked so hard to gain would then all be lost. I'm not going to read it all, but look in chapter 2 there. In the first 10 verses, he's going to say, you know, I just got whatever I wanted, is basically. Look at verse 4. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith. Verse 7, I got me servants and maidens. Verse 8, I gathered me also silver and gold. Verse 9, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me. Verse 10, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. This was my portion of all my labor. So what Solomon says there is, I work hard and I deserve it. And I'm going to get whatever I want and what I want. I get up and I go to work and I need more and I need more and I need more. But the simple fact is, one day, I don't know if he'd been to a funeral service. I don't know if he was just having a bad day. Ecclesiastes is kind of a negative book written by an older man in Solomon. But he looks up and says, what in the world am I living for? Look at verse number 14 again. Back in our text in chapter 2 and verse 14. It's like he's sitting there drinking his coffee early in the morning. He's thinking. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. We know what that is. It's death. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. If there's no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is and the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how died the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life. I hated life. He looked up and he said, I thought it was all about acquiring. I thought it was all about, you know, he who dies with the most toys wins. I thought it was all about, you have bigger and better and you, I had a fellow yesterday that came flying by me. People rarely fly by me driving, but he flies by me and I don't know what he was thinking. Joshua was with me. This might have been Friday. afternoon, but he flew by me out here on Highway 80 in a nice Chevy truck and loud pipes. And then he got up there and he slowed down. I don't know if he was looking at his phone, wasn't paying attention, but he just kind of went slower than traffic. He didn't know me and we weren't fighting, that no road rage this time. But I got up next to him and he looks at me and he's like, and I'm like, what? I told Joshua, man, what in the world is he doing? And I just said this, I'm paying less for my truck than yours. Big old lifted up truck and all these tires and all this stuff. And, you know, what to each his own. But what I'm saying is, if you're all about, you just have to have the next, latest, greatest, you got to have, I mean, listen, my kids make fun of my cell phone. I think it's an S10, S10 Plus. I thought that was a pickup truck back in the days. But my kids will make fun of mine. I'm not the dad that has to run out and get every new electronic every time it comes out. I've had the same hunting rifle for years. The church bought me my shotgun probably 15 years ago. Same shotgun. It still shoots the same. Why do I need two? I have the same 270 rifle. My wife bought me years ago. I haven't shot a deer since 2013. It may not shoot the same, but it's still good enough. I'm on guns because I'm a man. I like guns, but I'm saying to all of us, what I'm going to get to in just a moment is we need to stop and consider what matters most. So Solomon sat down and he started thinking, what am I doing? Well, a few verses before he says, I love life. This is great. And then he starts thinking, but wait a minute, one day I'm going to die. Then who's going to get all this stuff? Solomon realized that time was everything and that God only gave him a certain amount of time on earth to do what he needed to do. Because he says that in chapter 3, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Solomon looked up and he realized that all of a sudden, he had become an old man. I heard a preacher yesterday at that funeral. My brother did the funeral, my older brother. But there was an older man that was there that had been on staff for the former pastor that retired. He had been on staff for him. And this was that old preacher that retired, Brother Bennett, died back, I think, 2011. And this was his wife that passed away yesterday or that passed away this week and was buried yesterday. That old preacher got up and he said, I'm going to miss Bennett. He said, I'm going to miss Brother Bennett. He said, they were my go-to people. And that old preacher said this. He said, some of you could relate. I'm not saying that disrespectfully. You just could. I saw my dad yesterday nod his head. That old preacher said this. He said, they used to be the old people that I went to, that I called, that I talked to. He said, all of a sudden I looked up and I'm the old people. We're not going to last forever. Solomon looked up and he realized that he had become an old man, whose life apparently was all about material gain. Look at chapter number 12 there in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. So his advice to young people and his advice, by the way, you're as young today as you're ever going to be again. I sent my daughter a picture. My daughter's a smart aleck. I don't know where she got that from. But I sent her, I accidentally called her the other day and I meant to call Joshua. Their phone numbers are similar. And so I hung up. She called back. Did you call me, Dad? I said, I was trying to call my family. And she's like, whatever. And I said, what are you up to? She said, Jared and I are sitting here right now. I said, oh, well, maybe God wanted me to call you then. And later on, I was mowing my yard, and I sent her a picture of a huge bonfire I made. Men have to show off their bonfires, and she's like, wow, Dad. She said, hey, the yard looks nice too. So I sent her a picture of myself. You know, you young adult ladies know. Let me get the skinniest, best looking. Oh, I done saw it. Y'all got this. Let me challenge you. Guys ought to have that challenge. Yep. Ladies, it's like, let me get the perfect angle. I challenge 25 others. I guarantee if guys did that, it'd be, let me, I'm going to give you the ugliest picture of me, and I'm going to challenge 25 of y'all, and we would be kicked off of Facebook, I promise you. I sent Sarah a picture of me, like, yeah, I made fire. She just texts back, ooh, Dad, you got some city miles on you. I consider myself youth at 45, but a 20-year-old daughter does not. Solomon said this, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. By the way, this is absolute truth. As you get older, you either get sweeter or you get bitter. You're either a nice older person to be around, a fun older person to be around, or you're one that just hates life. While, he says here, while the sun or the light, or I don't have time to get into all of it, but chapter 12 there describes getting older. And so Solomon, he may have realized too late what matters most, because at the end of the book, at the end of the letter there, Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 and verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Remember, it started off with, I got myself anything I ever wanted. Man, I was loving life. I had whatever I wanted. And then he sat down and realized, wait a minute, not wrong to have some things, but if that is your focus in life, he says, I'm going to die one day. I'm going to leave that for everyone else. So at the end, he says, maybe Solomon says something like this. He's king, so he really didn't have to work, I guess. But maybe Solomon finished his coffee and said, you know what? I got to get up. I've got to stop. I've got to go. I've got to start my day. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Today I want us to stop and think about what matters most. Turn to Matthew chapter number 22 with me. Matthew chapter number 22. I do some counseling. I don't do a lot of counseling. Some preachers have the mindset that they do all their counseling from the pulpit, and if we listen to the preaching, but the truth is, yes, if we would just listen to a lot of what God said, it'd solve a lot of our problems. And I'll be honest with you, I can't tell you anything God doesn't already say. In Matthew 22, so what matters most in our life? Let me tell you, it can be summed up in one word. Here it is, and I'm going to give you the points. We'll get you out of here. Relationships. 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 Here's the way God puts it. Matthew 22. Look at verse number 36. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt keep thy truck nice and shined, polished. Make sure it's the fastest. Make sure it's the loudest. Make sure it's the nicest. Jesus said then, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Thou shalt have the most shoes of any woman in the church. Master, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And listen to this. All they had in those days were the law and the prophets, the Old Testament. And he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You want to obey God? You want to be right with God? He tells them, he says, learn to love God right and love people right. What did God say was most important in our life? Our relationships. With that in mind, let me give you several thoughts here. Today I want you to focus. But I don't want you to focus on your bank account. I want you to focus on your relationships. Don't look at your 401k. They say, preacher, what's a 401k? To me, it's three numbers and a letter on my keyboard back there. For some of y'all, it's your retirement. Don't look at your 401k, but rather look at your relationships. Today, I'm not concerned with how many toys you have, but what type of relationships do you have? Let me ask you the first question this. What about your relationship to Christ? What about your relationship to Christ? The Bible says in Mark 8 and verse number 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let me ask you this. First of all, are you absolutely 100% without a doubt sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? You say, yes, preacher, just like every week. Yes, just like every week. You know, I asked that question last week too. Isn't it a blessing to be saved, to know you're on your way to heaven? Isn't it a blessing to know? I was just talking to Miss Honey about that. And I said, Miss Honey, I don't know. I wish I knew more about heaven, but God gave us enough of what we did, what we need to know for now. And we'll know even as also we are known. And I believe with all my heart, we're going to fellowship with our loved ones again. I believe with all my heart, I'm going to sit down with Bill Pope again and laugh and carry on and have a good time. And we talked about maybe relationships not being the same as they are here on earth. And I said, I know some of that we can't understand, you know, how that would be that way in heaven. But the truth is, we don't know what it's like to be completely sinless. We don't know that the Bible says not good that man should be alone, but in heaven, Christ is our all in all. We'll have no needs. We'll have no desires. Just fellowship and just, time together. But friend, listen, you won't know that if you don't know the Lord is your Savior before you die. If you're saved in here, I would ask you this about that relationship. How is it between you and the Lord right now? You say, oh, preacher, I love the Lord. Do you? Because Jesus said this in Luke 6 and verse 46. He said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The word Lord means master. It means a supreme authority. And God says, hey, if you love me, obey my book. If you love me, tell others about me. Friend, listen, the fight is not between you and the preacher. The fight is between you and your flesh and you and the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And friend, listen, if you're not 100% right with God as a child of God, I would encourage you today, that's what matters most, is that you get right with God. I just have zero tolerance for hypocrisy. I'm not talking about, we're all sinners saved by grace if you're saved, and we're going to have a bad week, and we're going to mess up, and we're going to make bad choices, and we're going to sin, and we're going to have to get right with God. But this whole fake it till you make it, it's not on my radar. I can't stand that kind of stuff. The Bible says there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. And I'd say to us today, let's make sure that first and foremost, that our relationship to Christ is what it ought to be. Let me say secondly, let me ask you this question. What about your relationship to your spouse? Look at Genesis chapter 26. What about your relationship to your spouse? These couples that have gotten married in the last several years, and I've done their marriages, and we did the pre-marriage counseling stuff, and they could tell you that I gave them a packet full of scripture, and that I gave them all kinds of thoughts and ideas and whatever, whether they followed it or not, I don't know. But one of the things that I give those that I counsel with is a triangle. And God is here at the top, and the husband and wife are there on either side of the bottom of that triangle. The closer each one of us get to God, the closer we're going to be to one another. The better Christian we become, the better marriage we're going to have. Unfortunately, what happens is there's one side trying to get closer to God. One side may come to church, but they're not interested in the things of God. And it affects your marriage. How is your marriage today? Look at Genesis 26. We're picking up right in the middle of a thought, but it's a very interesting truth here. In verse number 8, the Bible says, and it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and he saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Isaac and Rebekah, a married couple, the Bible says, they were sporting. In other words, they were playing. In other words, they were enjoying one another's company. How's your marriage today? You know, Solomon, who is going through all this in his mind in Ecclesiastes, he mentioned that about marriage. He said it in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 9. He says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. My question to you this morning is, we're talking about what matters most. What matters most is not my truck. What matters most is not my deer heads. What matters most is not what I have in my shed. What matters most is not my my next new tie or new suit. What matters most is my relationships. Brother Sean's back there. We buried his daddy this week. We never one time said, Brother Allen made this much money and his business was worth this much money and this happened and he had this many customers and this many. And I'll be honest with you, I think Sean, you would agree with me. I don't know all your dad's customers, your customers, but I knew a lot of the people that were here. I knew the majority, if not all the people that were here, were either family or church family. And I was thinking later on that night, weren't a whole lot of customers that showed up. At the end of the day, you think they care? I just hope they honor Miss Liz and pay their bills. And Brother Greg's daddy passed away years ago. Brother Greg's dad passed away at 47 years old of a heart attack. And when his daddy passed away, I remember him telling me, so-and-so here in town has my dad's either a big compressor or a welder. He said, I don't know if he'll ever give it back to me. And I'm not going to bother him about it. I don't know if the man ever brought the thing back. That's dishonest. And friend, listen, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I've done peripherally, if you will. At the end of the day, listen, when we get up and do a service, you're talking all about relationships, and people want to tell you about their relationship and how their relationship was. And I'm saying to you that there are some could testify to us today in here that we need to get concerned with our relationship to Jesus Christ. If you're in here today and you're married, we need to get concerned with our relationship to our spouse. Number one cause of problems in relationship is pride. They're wrong and you're not. We need to get ourselves right with God and pray for our spouse. How is your marriage? Outside of Christ, no one and nothing should be more important to you and have more priority in your life than your spouse. Period. God says it's not good that man should be alone. He didn't say I'll give him a job. He didn't say it's not good that man should be alone. I'll give him a hunting dog. He didn't say it's not good that man should be alone. I'll give him children. Thank God for that. Gave us a wife first. He says it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. Which means I will make him a helper that fits him. Quit trying to find a way out of your marriage and find a way to fix your marriage. The best way you can fix your marriage is to get right with God and be right with God and desire a Christ-centered home. What about your relationship to your spouse? Let me say thirdly, what about your relationship to your children? What about your relationship to your children? The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and in verse number 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The spiritual growth of our children is not up to mama, it's up to daddy. And dad, you don't even really have to say a word in order to make that happen. Just live a godly life that they can pattern and follow. Doesn't do any good when mom and dad come to church and live for God and want their kids to live for God and the kids go to children's church and they hear about living for God, but then during the week daddy's doing a bunch of cussing or mama's doing a bunch of cussing or they're screaming and they're throwing things and they're fighting. And I'm not talking about an argument. We all get in those arguments, but I'm talking about just utter opposite of what they're seeing at church. We make all kinds of excuses for it, but at the end of the day, buddy, listen to me. You need to have a right relationship with your children. You will not raise godly children by accident. You will not raise good, productive citizens of society by mistake. The Bible says that in the end times, this is what happens. 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, dangerous times. Friend, we are there. They're saying if they put a conservative Supreme Court justice, U.S. U.S. senator saying this. If they put a conservative judge in there before the election, they're going to burn this place down. Hurt conservatives wherever you find them. Not going to give you any public advice right now, but take care of yourself, protect yourself. The Bible says perilous times, and friend, we're there. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. But listen to this, without natural affection. Now, I know a lot of times we like to combine that with Romans and talk about without natural affection, you know, and homosexuality. And maybe that's some of what it's talking about. But I tell you what, there is a lack of natural, affection in parents today. I cannot believe the number of ladies that have no motherly nature to them. First and foremost, let me make sure my child is okay. I can't believe the amount of mothers today that it's almost like, first and foremost, let me make sure I'm okay. Too many today are without natural affection toward their children. The love that compels you to teach them and train them and prepare them for life. The love that causes you to sacrifice your wants for their needs. Sarah's in a school, quite expensive school in when it comes to Christian colleges. And she pays for a lot of her school. We pay for half of her school. You know how much that half of that school is? I'm not going to tell you the amount, but it would be the payment on a new vehicle. Say, why do you do it? Because I had kids to take care of my kids. I've never believed that philosophy. Well, my daddy didn't teach me nothing. I ain't teaching you nothing. Well, maybe dad should have taught you something. I just believe Ethan got his license yesterday. Dad took him to get his license. Yeah, God help all of us. I believe your relationship to your children are important. I just believe that, yeah, God gives us some things over time, and thank the Lord for that, but making sure that my family stays in the house and the electricity stays on and the groceries are paid and my son has what he needs and my daughter at school has what she needs. I am responsible for that young lady until a man takes her hand at the altar. And I'm going to do everything in my power as a parent to sacrifice for those children. I walked into Sarah's room this morning. Of course, she's not there. She's in Tennessee, so I'm loving it because I get to use her closet. So last night, I go in there and get my suit and tie, pick it all out and get it ready, lay my stuff on her bed. It's like, man, I get a man cave here. It just has a pink and blue blanket. But and I walked over there and looked at, I made a collage of pictures for her a couple years ago, made a collage of pictures for Joshua, and then for Miss Audie, just stuff we had done together. And Sarah turned 20 this, I think it was this week. And I sent her 20 roses on her birthday. You say, man, that was expensive. I just wanted to beat Jared. Right? I don't know if I did. I don't know if I did, but you got to beat that boyfriend. But I was looking at that all those years of her growing up. And I just tell you, I know this is old cliche. It goes by fast. With the sons, not so much. My mom told me the other day, Jeremy, it's not going to be long. Joshua's going to, he's going to be leaving too. I said, some parents, you know, they're like, oh, empty nest. I'm already planning like this is going to be good. I'll miss him. I'll walk in his room and cry, you know, when he leaves. And then Joshua's room. But I'm kind of looking forward to the empty nest. All right? He knows it. But I looked at those pictures in Sarah's room. You know what I thought? I can truly say we raised her with no regrets. Things we could have changed? Oh, absolutely. Every parent thinks that. Things could have done better? Absolutely. But I can look at it and not say, man, I sure wasted all those years being concerned with me instead of my kid. And I'm glad to say, man, I you know what it is? And I'll finish here. Here's what it's called. adults, balance. Balance. Everything in our life is important. And nothing has to necessarily be more important than something else. We just need balance. I don't want to waste the time that I have with my children. Just remember what Solomon said: to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Hey, what about your relationship to others? How do you treat people? Will you be missed when you're gone, or will people celebrate? I know that's an ugly way of saying it. I know that's an ugly thought, but what I'm saying to you is, let's make sure we're treating people right. Let's make sure we're treating others right. There's a right way and a wrong way to handle things. Joshua last night ran up to McDonald's, drove up to McDonald's, and Miss Audie took him up there, rode with him. And I was coming home from the church about the same time they were coming home from there. And so I was talking to Miss Audie out in the yard. We were talking about something. So it was a few minutes before we went in. Oh, Joshua, y'all pray for us. And I go in, and Joshua is laying in the kitchen floor. One thing about him, he's the same here as he is at home. He's just Joshua. And I walk in and he's like, I said, dude, because Joshua's a big old boy, get out of the middle of the floor. What are you doing? He had ordered 2 McChickens. And he got home and it was 2 cheeseburgers. Yeah, he's laying on the floor. Well, I already am disappointed in the service at the McDonald's in this town. Not a fan of it, but he loves it. So I said, all right, put him in the refrigerator, put the receipt in. And I took it back this morning right when they opened. I didn't fuss. It was only $3. It's just the principle of the matter. Hey, bonehead, that says chicken on that screen. I took it back and said, ma'am, this is what happens. She's like, I can't take them back. I'm like, well, I don't want you to take them back and serve them to somebody. I said, I just want to get the boy's money back. I said, he was severely disappointed. He's in here like 10 times a day. No. And I said, I just, it's just the principle of the matter. I mean, she's like, no, I get it. There's a right way to handle things. You don't have to be hated. And I don't always do it right. But what about your relationship to others? The Bible says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. In other words, act in a way that's suitable to someone that claims to be a born-again Christian. Last one is this: what about your relationship to the lost? The absolute only thing we could take to heaven with us is another person. You believe in heaven, I believe in heaven. That's what's kind of got us by these last couple of weeks. Why don't we tell others about Christ so that they can go to heaven also? What matters most? I'll tell you what matters most. Our relationships. First and foremost, our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, our relationship to our family. We were supposed to get out of town tomorrow. We're not, because that hurricane, or tropical storm, whatever it is. And y'all better watch it this week, because the first thing I asked my wife last night was, why is God keeping us here this week? So everybody be careful, okay? But you know what? I didn't care. I mean, I can go in a couple of weeks. I can get a little rest at home, take a couple of days off. You know who I didn't want to disappoint? Joshua. He loves to fish. I don't really like to fish, but he loves to fish. I was taking him fishing. You know, I didn't want to disappoint Joshua. I'm not a perfect parent. I'm far, far, far from it. But I'm just saying, moms and dads, when did we get to this selfish place in society where it's about us? I've seen my mother drive me to school sick and throw up on the side of the road trying to get us up here to the public school. And anymore today, it's like, find another babysitter. We need more money and we need more stuff and we need more things. And it's all about us, and it's all about, I'm not wearing an old pair of shoes, and I'm not going to have an old this, and I'm not going to have an old that. And I understand young couples having to do some work to get started in life. I understand how expensive life is right now. There ought to come a time where you say, you know what? Time's ticking away. We're running out of time. And I'm telling you, it goes by quick. Make sure your relationship to your family is what it ought to be. Make sure our relationship to others is what it ought to be. What we need today is this. We need a reevaluation of life. We need a recommitment to right priorities. And we need a refocus on what matters most. what matters most in your life. If you're here today, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. We have altar workers who will show you how to be saved. I want you to be saved. That is what matters most, I promise you. None of us is promised tomorrow. If you are saved, but you know that your relationship to Christ is not what it ought to be, why don't you come today and rededicate your life and be serious about it and say, this is, I know this is what I need. Maybe your relationship to one of your, spouse, a child, whoever it may be, is not what it ought to be. Maybe you're hanging on to something silly and stupid. And why don't you come today and pray and say, Lord, help me. I'm going to do better. I'm going to quit waiting until they do. I'm going to do better. And I'm going to expect that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I'm going to let God work on their heart. Children, I didn't say anything about it, but how is your relationship to your parents? You're going to lose your parent one day. You don't want to live with regret that you did not treat them with respect and spend the time you could have spent with them.